This is Magneto Mel, and we're talking to several of our air traffic control gurus here around the country and across the pond, and we've been talking about
the freaks. Huh? it
both fits, I suppose.
Yeah. Talking about the use of English and the new ICAO test implemented this year. Obviously, I guess it's hit Germany. My understanding is that everybody is going to be brought to task on this year.
I actually fly as well, so we've had a waiver. I got a note in the mail the other day from the local,
I don't know what you'd call it here. It's a local FS.
The FISDO.
Yeah, and they said, well, congratulations on having passed your English test. You're good to 2010. I'm going, oh, well, great. Done that easily. So we actually all have a waiver, blanket waiver until 2010 because they couldn't get the implementation in time, for the pilots at least. Air traffic control, I'm not sure whether we have a waiver, but I'm assuming it'll be a blanket waiver. So the whole thing's been moved back a little. But there's movement, and they're serious about it. The French are doing it, which shows that we're serious.
So, that is a test for controllers and pilots.
Yeah,
it's not just the pilots that are being.
And that was one of our visitors the other day. It was a French pilot asking about it, and apparently I've got wavered through some time also, so I don't have to worry about this. But
I'm thinking that the guys in the UK, and obviously anybody who has English as an official language or whose language is English, are going to get a waiver anyway. It's really just a formality. I mean, they do the test, and it's pretty straight up.
And to be honest with you, some of us could probably use a refresher.
Yeah, that's something you hear, is that they were talking about is that the native English speakers should have a proficiency assessment as well, because
it couldn't hurt. I mean, I know we have the different parts of the country that speak completely foreign to the other. Texas to North Dakota, some of the Valley California talk. I mean, you can relate to that. Well, or you get up into the Bronx area, up in the northern corners, or Louisiana, for crying out loud.
That conversation between the British pilot and the New York controller, and
absolutely.
They just absolutely, and finally the British pilot said, I know we're speaking the same language, but I have to say, I don't understand a word you're saying.
Well, and I have to tell you that, I mean, I worked 3 years at Detroit Metro Tracon, and the times that I listened to the foreign speaking pilots, the ones that I had the most difficulty were, and it's not a slam, it's just a statement of fact, were the Air Mexicana folks and Speedbird.
Yeah.
Which is the British carrier. And they were the most difficult ones to understand. And I speak English, and I think they do too. And that's what I was going to address in I know in Germany they teach British English. They don't teach what we're accustomed to speaking in America. So some of the terminology that you're using doesn't click here.
Absolutely.
There are barriers across. I mean, even English are barriers.
Well, I was just going to mention the terminology in general. You hear people come over. We've got our FAA phraseology, and then the ICAO phraseology.
And that's
there
meshing.
There are some points of difference. I don't know how many pilots here that just fly locally or general aviation, if you ask them to explain the QNH or, you know, some of these other terms, that they're not going to know what you're necessarily talking about.
Well, the FAA is
altitude.
The FAA is beginning to meld a lot more of the ICAO terminology, the ICAO rules, into what we consider our Bible, so to speak, the .65. I'm not happy about it. I don't think a lot of controllers are, but I also understand that we're the only country in the world that has a different rule. Canada uses ICAO.
Right.
I don't know if some of the rules would work the same, but we'll have to find out.
Classic example you're talking about there is here in the United States, those of us that can still use it, position and hold.
Yeah.
That's a big one that you hear about.
And that's then, and then in
as opposed to line up and wait.
Line up and wait. Yeah. Right.
And then the Norwegian air traffic control students were instructed at the University of North Dakota, and I did some of their instruction. So I'm very familiar with the ICAO handbook, only because I had to be, mind you, but I still learned it. You can use conditional phrases, or at least they can. I don't know if they allow you to do that in Frankfurt, where you can line up and wait behind the 737 that's still on a 2-mile final.
Well, we used to not be able to. We did We were able to do it, then we were not able to do it, and then we were able to do it. So the latest
sounds like here.
I'm under correction here. I'm not quite sure what the latest thing is, but as far as I know, we can do it again because operations basically, when they said we weren't allowed to do it, the tower guys were saying, well, that's fine, but that'll slow us down. And so I think about a month later, they decided, well, we'll just do it again. So at the moment, but this is under correction, I think we are allowed to do it. And but we do, of course, we use the lineup and wait thing.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, somebody mentioned that earlier, and she said the reason they don't do taxi into position and hold because they had a foreign student who was told taxi into position and hold, and he took off. And they said, well, what were you thinking? And he said, well, I thought you said taxi into position and roll. And so that was there. There the ball was off.
And see, there again is a language barrier.
Yeah.
You know, it's a conditioned thing where the pilots are conditioned to hearing specific phrases. We tried it at our airport just to see how it was going to go. I tried it for one shift. I was talking to the professional pilots, the Northwest, the FedEx guys, and I told them to taxi to the holding point for the specific runway, and none of them knew what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
To a T, yeah. None of them knew what I was talking about. It goes, what's the holding point? It's the hold short line. Oh, well, I can do that. But they had no clue what I was talking about.
Makes you wonder if people that come up with some of this stuff are sitting in an office, never talked to an airplane in their life, but think, well, this is a good idea.
The taxi to the holding point is phraseology that's been used in the ICAO world for a very, very long time, and they're very accustomed to hearing it in the European countries, overseas, Canada, Mexico, South America. There's got to be a lot of education process, and the education process in this country is going to encompass the, 50,000 pilots or however many there are that fly in this country, as well as the controller workforce. It's going to take some time.
And I have a question to pose to you on that when we come back, because we will take a break here. You are listening to EAA Radio Push to Talk, the ATC Hour with Magneto Mel.